Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a joy to welcome you to our Lord's Day service, and we hope the service is a blessing to you. We want to welcome all of you for communion later in the service. Our communion is an open communion. All may come to the Lord's Supper, and the way we do it here is that either I or an elder will come to your pew. If you wish to receive communion, you stand. If you do not wish to receive it, you may remain seated. And after everyone is served, then we partake, and I will tell you when that happens. So there's no mystery in it. For our announcements, our fellowship hour is after church. It takes place in the room adjacent to me. And we have a wonderful fellowship hour planned, so we hope that you will stay and get to know each other in fellowship hour. Our midweek Lenten service is at 1:30 p.m. at Scandia Village Meadows Gathering Room, and all are invited. That's a public service, and we hope to see you there. We love our children, and we try to support our school whenever possible, and there are perpetual calendars that are for sale for our young people, and some of the photography in them was done by some of our kids from this church. So if you would like a perpetual calendar, in the foyer there's a sign-up sheet. Just sign your name and phone number and we will get one to you. And we are in need of ushers and fellowship hour hosts for the next month, so we hope you will look at the sign-up sheet and take care of that. And in your bulletin you will find a flyer for Easter flowers, so we ask that you fill that out if you would like to purchase Easter flowers. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord. Watchword for the week is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that to everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Would you stand with me as we sing together hymn number 775 and remain standing for the liturgy for Lent.
Your praises, God loves his children, loves even me.
page 78 for the Liturgy for Lent. We give thanks to you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even before the world was made, you had already chosen us to be yours through Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before you. We praise you for your glorious grace, for the free gift you gave us in your dear Son. Confession. Help us conform our lives to you as the model for holy and righteous living. Forgive us for our desire for personal greatness, for our attempts to make gods of ourselves, for our willingness to exalt ourselves at the expense of others, and for our resistance to serving one another as you have served us. Forgive us for making light of your obedience and sacrifice on the cross by living an undisciplined and indifferent Christian witness. Forgive us for yielding to fear rather than relying on your strength to take the risks of discipleship. Forgive us, dear Jesus, for times we have not looked to you as our Lord, and for allowing the clamoring distractions of the world to become higher priorities than you. Forgive us for yielding more to the pressures of this world than being transformed by your lordship over our lives. Sins. God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations, which was against us and which stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Since we have been raised with Christ, let us set our hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. this Lenten journey, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Please stand. The peace of Christ rule in our hearts, since as members of one body we were called to peace, and let us be thankful.
Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Whatever we do, therefore, whether in word or deed, let us do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament scripture lesson is taken from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Our New Testament lesson is taken from the Gospel of John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What do you do and who do you look for when you are trying to stave off disaster? In our lives, there are times when we are trying to stave off disaster. When we see our relationships sliding into oblivion, and we want so desperately to hold on to them, and we can see disaster looming and we do not know what to do. What do you do? Where do you turn? Who do you look for when disaster is ready to strike? When our loved ones are ill and we have exhausted all our effort and all our money to find a cure, and a cure is not to be had, how do you stave off disaster? Or in communities, or in nations, when you think of a nation seeing a warring nation surrounding them, and they know that the disaster is coming, and we have seen that in Ukraine, haven't we? Where Russia was amassing troops, and the alarm bells were sounding, and they were trying to stave off disaster, but disaster came anyway. What do you do? I think of the Pharisee Nicodemus, who was working to stave off disaster in his own nation. His nation was already under occupation. The ruling junta was brutal, to say the least. Pilate despised the Jewish nation, and yet he was their governor. And any opportunity that he had to terrorize his citizens, he did. There was a scripture, kind of a cryptic scripture, that we read about when they told Jesus that Pilate had mingled the blood of people in the sacrifice. There were times that Pilate would deliberately insult the Jewish faith, and he would erect crosses. Now, crosses weren't the beautiful symbol they are today. They were signs of crucifixion. It would be like somebody assembling gallows on the street corners, and Pilate would assemble these gallows, these crosses, to terrorize the people. And Nicodemus was part of the ruling council called the Sanhedrin. And the role of the Pharisees was to try to maintain order and to keep the peace so that Rome would not have an excuse to destroy his people. And so there were laws in place. There were orders in place to try to keep the people calm, to keep the people in a way that would honor the Jewish faith and yet not disrupt the Roman sense of peace and order. And I know that Nicodemus was probably very concerned, along with the rest of the Jewish council, with this upstart preacher, Jesus, because Jesus was upsetting the order. And people flocked to him. And Rome did not like to see assemblies unless it was sanctioned by Rome. And so these people were following this itinerant minister around, and there were reports that he was having great success in healing and in teaching. And so the Sanhedrin had met, and there must have been debate among them. And Nicodemus went to Jesus at night to speak to him. Now, some say he went because he was afraid that other people would see that he had gone to Jesus. I don't think that's the case, because Pharisees mixed it up with Jesus all the time, and usually in broad daylight. And he would go to Pharisees' home for dinner. So that was not the case, but I think Nicodemus went at night because he wanted to give Jesus a fair hearing. And he really wanted to wrestle with him and talk these issues over with him. And so he starts by saying, "Rabbi, we know that you must be from God." So that they were all in agreement with. He was from God, because you couldn't do these wonderful things he was doing without being from God. And you would think that Jesus, hearing those wonderful words, would then engage him. I mean, if somebody said to me, "Yeah, you're doing great work," well, I would talk about the great work I was doing. And I would talk about all the wonderful things of this church. But Jesus turned the tables on him. And, you know, most of us, when we hear John 3:16, that's all we hear. But think about the conversation. If you were having a conversation with Jesus, when he answers Nicodemus, it was like a non sequitur. Like he was not referencing anything Nicodemus was talking about. So Nicodemus tells him, "You're from God," and Jesus said, "You know, you can't get into heaven until you're born from above." Where did that come from? And then he talks about the wind blowing where it will. And I'm sure Nicodemus was like, you know, circle back. Now, Nicodemus understood spiritual things. He was a Pharisee. He understood things of the Spirit. What Jesus was saying was not a mystery, but it was like, why are you telling me this thing? And you're basically telling me that I have to reorient myself and that I have to learn a whole new way of being. And that's why he said it's like climbing back into your mother's womb. It's impossible. But what Jesus was telling him was that all the methods that Nicodemus was using was not going to stave off disaster. Because you remember, some decades after that conversation, the Roman army swept in and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. Order and trying to placate the authorities were not going to help. And Jesus was telling him, there is another order, and there is another way. And God cannot be tamed by us, and God cannot be ruled by us. And when disaster happens, there is still all the grace of God, all the love of God, all the resources of heaven that can get us not to stave off disaster, but to walk us through it. You see, we sometimes think that God is like Santa Claus, and that when disaster looms, somehow it's going to go away from me because I have a holy bubble. Well, we know that's not. And when we preach that way, that somehow God is going to protect us because we're the favored ones, then what happens when disaster strikes? Then we walk away from God because God didn't do what we thought God would. But that's not what God promises. The writer of the psalm understood that when he said, I look to the hills. And in the hills in the ancient times, there would be statues of the gods on those hills because it was thought that the gods occupied the high places. And so when the psalmist peered up and saw these human-made figures, and he said, I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? He said, not those hills. It's far above those hills. My help comes from God who made heaven and earth. God is for us. Humanity might not be for us. The people around us might not be for us. The nations might not be for us, but God is for us. And when disaster strikes, God gives us the power. He gives us the grit to walk right through disaster. That's our faith. So the next time we're trying to stave off disaster and we see it rolling toward us, remember, God is for us and he will help us walk through disaster. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the grace and the love that you've poured out on us so that when disaster strikes, we are anchored to you. And we ask, O Lord, that your spirit, your grace would be upon us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue to worship our Lord with the giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
our praise reports and our prayer requests, I have a marvelous praise report. Yesterday, a name popped up on my phone, Joni, and I was a little concerned because Joni has been in the ICU for several weeks, and it was her telling me that she has done so well with her surgery. The new valve is working the way it's supposed to work. She's off dialysis, and she's expected to go to Green Bay for cardiac rehab in a few days. So we are so grateful. And she said to me there were some days that she was surrounded by gray and did not know if she was going to be here. She said, but something kept me here. So we are so delighted and so grateful to God for answering prayers on Joni's behalf. For our prayer concerns, we would like to remember Kelsey. Kelsey is in need of a lung transplant. So we ask for your prayers for Kelsey this week. My friend Corey asked for prayers for the family of Marlo. This was a young man who works in her department and was killed in a car crash. So the whole family is in mourning. We want to remember Elfie's daughter, Jean, who's been having a health crisis. Linda's sister, Carrie, is having a health crisis. Our dear Lois, who's in a nursing home, was just diagnosed with COVID again. Let's remember Lois in our prayers. I ask for prayers for my sister, Linda. I will be going to visit with her this week. She's been having some real struggles in post-op. And we'd like to continue prayers for Anne, for Dave, for Elise, for Kim, for Kathy, for Maggie, for Joel, and for Barbara. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful that we do not rely on ourselves to answer prayers. We do not rely on ourselves to solve problems. We are so grateful that we can come to you at all times and cast ourselves on your mercy, because we know that they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We're so grateful that Joni has had a good report. We ask that you would continue to strengthen and guide her. We ask for all those whom we have named today, those who are in grief, those who are in health crises, those who need guidance, those whose burdens are too heavy to even name. We ask, O Lord, that you would see them through those crises, and that you would give us eyes to see when our neighbor or family member is in trouble, that we might speed help and deliverance. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. turn to the Lord's Supper that is found as an insert in your bulletin. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful for your love and your mercy. We're so grateful that whosoever will may come to you. And we ask, O Lord, that as we share this ancient feast together, that your Spirit would have full sway. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, sufferings, death, and resurrection.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Please be seated. Stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant to us your peace. Amen.
Amen.
whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace.